Let's read just a little bit from the fourth chapter of the book of Daniel. It says, Nebuchadnezzar, the king under all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I thought it good to show the signs and wonders that the high God hath wrought toward me. How great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. I saw a dream which made me afraid, and the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, and in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know that the spirit of the holy God is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee, tell me the vision of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height thereof was great. The tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. The leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all. The beast of the field had shadow under it, and the fowls of the heaven dwelt in the breath thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, thus hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit. Let the beast get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the earth. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers, and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, and setteth up over it the basis of men. This dream I, Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. Now thou, O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, forasmuch as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation. But thou art able, for the spirit of the holy gods is in thee. Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. The tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached unto the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, under which the beast of the field dwelt, and upon whose branches the fowls of the heaven had their habitation. It is thou, O king, that are grown and become strong, For thy greatness is grown and reacheth unto heaven, and thy dominion to the end of the earth. And whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven, and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. And let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his potion be with the beast of the field, till seven times pass over him. This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. And they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And whereas they commanded to leave the stump of the tree roots, thy kingdom shall be sure unto thee, after that thou shalt have known that the heavens do rule. Wherefore, O king, let my counsel be accepted unto thee, and break off thine sins by righteousness, and thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O king Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hair were grown like eagle feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me. And I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. And all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom my honor and brightness returned unto me, and my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose work are true, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. You know, it is said again and again here in the writings of Daniel, or the book of Daniel, that is, it is said here again and again that the spirit of the gods was in Daniel. Now then, people down in Babylon, people that didn't understand spiritual things, they couldn't understand God, and they didn't have any communication with God as to the reality of God. Everybody back in that time was heathenistic, and they had all kind of pagan gods. But when the children of Israel was driven out from their land in 975 B.C. and in 721 B.C., as to the 10 tribes and as to Judah, some going away into Assyria as the lost tribes, as it is said concerning the 10 tribes, And then as it was of the prophecy of the prophet, saying that the others would go down into Babylon, and there they would continue 70 years. It happened exactly the way the prophet said. Now, if you remember back in the times of the prophesying, there was also false prophets. In the day we're living in, though God has true prophets, though he has true ministers, and what they say is absolutely thus saith the Lord, yet at the same time there is false prophets as it was in that day. When the prophet of God got up and made the statement that they were going down into Babylon for 70 years, when this statement was made, there was a false prophet that got up. And this false prophet took and began to push this way and that way with some horns and whatever, and began to say, God isn't going to do that. You know, using terms like we could say, God is good and God loves his people, and it doesn't matter because you've sinned against God and done all of these corrupt things. God isn't going to let anything happen to you. God's love is so great, he wouldn't let nothing happen to you for nothing, though you've sinned against him, though you've been contrary, though he warned you that he would not pardon your iniquity. He told Joshua and Moses that when they started to cross the Jordan, he warned them, said, I send my angel before your face, and he will not pardon your transgressions, so don't provoke him. And though he had told them that, yet here they had provoked him. They had done all kind of evil things. And now, here it is many years later, and the prophet of God says, thus saith the Lord, because of thine iniquities, because you've done wrong, because you wouldn't listen to the minister, now judgment is upon you. And so he said, now you're going down into Babylon for 70 long years, and you're going to be there. And this prophet jumped up like a lot of false prophets today. You know, said, no, no, God is good. Don't have to worry. God isn't going to let anything happen to you. God knows you're just a human being. God knows that you can't help it, and God isn't going to punish you, and you don't have to worry. And so then the people foolishly listen to that, and they go on, and the dart strikes through the liver. Though they get the warning, and though they're told that they cannot do those things, that God will get them for those things, that they'll give place to the devil, and the devil will cause them to suffer heartaches and sorrow, but you can't get them to see that. See, there's so many of them screaming out, that God is good. God isn't going to hurt you. All you got to do is give me your offerings. All you got to do is pay your tithes. All you got to do is come to church. Everything is going to be all right with you. And so then they continue to cry out like that. And in so doing, they fix it to where people fall headlong into a trap. The prophet of God said, I tell you in the name of the Lord, he went on to express himself, that you are going down into Babylon. Said, don't you try to resist the king Nebuchadnezzar. Said, if you try to resist him, you'll just get killed. Said, problems will just come your way. Said, because God has given you into the hands of the Babylonian government because of your iniquities. And you're going to be there for 70 long years. So, as the prophet prophesied and the other false prophet kept interfering, he said, and not only are you going into Babylon and spend 70 years down there, he said, but this false prophet that keeps on telling you that everything's going to be well with you, said he's going to die. Said God's going to take his life because of his false teachings. And sure enough, it came to pass just as the prophet said. Down into Babylon they went 70 long years. They were there. And the prophet that came against the prophet of the Lord, he died, just as the prophet said that he would do. In that very year or whatever, right close by, he died because the prophet had spoken. And see, this is the beautiful thing about walking with the Lord. When you walk with God, God will do what you say. If you walk with God and God tells you something, then God will stand behind that. Whatever God tells you, you can just step right out and say, God said it, thus saith the Lord, and it'll be exactly that way. That's what's so beautiful. See, this was so beautiful. That prophet said, that's the way it is, folks. That's the way it was. Here's a little human being down here on the earth, a man that they called a prophet. Just a man, that's all he was. Down here on this earth, trying to help the people, trying to tell the people the right thing, save their lives, help them to get God's favor. And this man, just a man, he would say something, and then beyond the great veil, there is God. And that great God of all eternity would honor what the man said and bring to pass what the man said and make the man's words to be just exactly. See, this is what thrilled the heart of Nebuchadnezzar. When Nebuchadnezzar asked of his wise men, asked of his soothsayers, asked of all those people, while they could do nothing. They just told him a bunch of lies. They were like the false prophets of today. They promised, but they couldn't perform. It was just exactly like it was in the days of Jezebel, when the duel was called and when the contest came. Jezebel's prophets, though there were many of them, they all came out. They prophesied. They predicted. They said all kinds of things, but nothing didn't happen. But when God's prophet came out, just Elijah by himself, when God's prophet came out, God's prophet said, thus and thus and thus it shall be. And according to the scriptures and according to history, it happened just exactly the way that he said it would happen. He did it according to God's will. Now go back there and search it out. And you'll find out that Jezebel's prophets, those false preachers of that day, they didn't know anything about God. They didn't know anything about the Spirit. They didn't know how to move with God. The first mistake they made was they tried to get God to answer by fire when it was out of season. Elijah knew that you couldn't get the fire down until the evening time. He knew that. It wouldn't have made no difference what he promised the people. He knew that Jesus, being spiritual now, he knew that Jesus would be the Lamb of God that would come in the evening time as to the evening time sacrifice, and that that would be the fire. Whereas the Bible said that he will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he shall thoroughly purge his flow. So then, see, Elijah knew the Spirit. He knew the mind of the Spirit. And he knew that he didn't have any business out there asking God to do anything until the evening time. So he let them other false prophets holler and dance and hoop and run around like a bunch of wild Indians and do all they wanted to do. See, and then when the contest, when the time really came for the contest, he waited until the evening time, because the sacrifice was always to be offered up in the evening time. And he couldn't afford to violate the scriptures. He had to walk according to the word, if God was to vindicate what he said. Folks, it's the same way today. It doesn't matter how much a man out here hollers and goes on. It doesn't matter if he sets a revival. It doesn't matter if he goes to college. It doesn't matter if he says God's called him to preach. He's got to walk according to the word. If he doesn't walk according to the word, God won't vindicate what he says. If he's out of harmony with God, if he's out of the Spirit, if he's not walking in harmony with God, then God cannot vindicate what he's saying, because it's not the voice of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word is God, the same to a thousand generations, yesterday, today, and forever. And so then, we got to get in harmony with the Word. We got to walk in harmony with the Word. We got to do it according to the Word. Do exactly what the mind of Christ tells us to do. The Bible said, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So then we've got to have the mind of Christ. We've got to have the word of Christ. We've got to have the voice of Christ. We've got to do it in harmony with the word. We've got to do it in harmony with God. And every time that we do it in harmony with God, it'll always be thus saith the Lord. And it'll always come to pass. So then Elijah, he just kind of mocked them, paid no attention to what they were doing. He just mocked them and he said, maybe your God's on a long journey. Said it might be a while before he gets back. And he mocked on. Said maybe he's taking himself a nap. Maybe he's asleep. And they jumped and they hollered and they screamed and they broke down the altars. Nothing didn't happen. They cut themselves till blood came. Their sacrifice was of no value. So then, to build big churches, to buy property, to do all these things with your ritualistics and your as would be supplication unto God. He said, away with that. He said, I'm sick of those kind of things. And he said that he wanted obedience. It was better than sacrifice. He said, I want you to feed the poor. This is the kind of fast I'm looking for. I want you to help the needy. I want you to live holy. I want you to come out from the world and be a separate people. And touch not the unclean things. And then I'll receive you, saith the Lord. I want you to honor my word. Conform to my word. Walk according to my word. Faith is by my word. And you're saved by faith in the word. And so Elijah, he wouldn't move. He just stayed there. And then at the set time, according to the word, the God had said unto Moses, and that was the word of God in that day. He had said, Moses, at a certain time of the evening, make sure that this sacrifice is given. Always at this time of evening. And the fire was to be built at that time of evening. And so it was that Elijah did exactly that. He set his altars. He fixed his sacrifice. He poured water around it. See, he followed the time of the offering. He followed the kind of offering that God asked for. He followed the system of the offering as to the water and as to the seed and as to the wood. He followed everything right perfectly in harmony with God. And then when he got it all ready, he waited till the very time. And at the very time of the offering, he cried out. And he said, let the God of heaven, if he be God, let him answer by fire. And the Bible said the fire came sweeping down. It took up the altar. It took the wood. It took the water. It took the seed. It took everything that was there. And then God had Elijah to take those false prophets, those indwelling devils down to the water and slay them. Had him to take them over there and kill them and to do away with them. And Jezebel, she was in a rage. She was in a rage. See, a similar thing happened in Daniel's day in the reverse. The men that were false prophets, those people that was all upset because Daniel had the answer, because Daniel served a true and a living God, because Daniel wasn't making believe. See, Daniel called on the name of the Lord, and Daniel done what he knew was the right thing to do. And so then God answered Daniel. When the others were about to be killed, and the great king was so upset he was going to kill all of them, do away with all of them, said all of them was a bunch of liars. Daniel, the Hebrew children, those that loved God, called upon the name of Jesus and called upon the name of the Lord as they knew it in that day. And God spared those men because of Daniel's prayers. But then the same villains turned right around, took Daniel, caused the Hebrew children to be thrown into the fire. Took Daniel, threw him into the lion's den. And God still spared them and made the men even greater than they were to start with. Showing the great dynamic power of God and showing the blessings of God upon Daniel and the favoritism of God upon the Hebrew children. So then this is what I'm speaking of. See, because Daniel prayed 3 times a day. Daniel called on the name of the Lord. It didn't make no difference what the law said. Daniel had done what God said. They passed the law and said, you can't do that, Daniel, but he did it anyway. They passed the law and said to the Hebrew children, said, you can't do that. Now, I don't want to get too excited here. I'd love to say my throat just a little again. But see, the excitement came. That is worldly excitement. And the oppression came. And the boycotting came. And Daniel went into the lion's den. The Hebrew children went into the fire furnace. But God's great power brought them out. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. The Lord said he can't do it. But he did it anyway. He went on doing it anyway. The law was passed and said the Hebrew children would have to worship the image. But they didn't do it. they went on worshiping God anyway. The king said, I'll throw you into the fire. So that doesn't matter. That's not what's important. The thing that's important is that we please God. And the Bible said when they were thrown into the fire, the king said, didn't I throw three people into the furnace? Said, and I see four, and one is like unto the Son of God. And said, they're loose, walking around down there. And so that everybody would know that it wasn't something where they didn't have the furnace hot enough, when the different ones got over to the furnace, they were killed. Just getting close to it because of the heat. They were killed. But the Bible said Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire furnace, not even as much as the smell of fire on their garments. You know why? They stood for righteousness. They stood for godliness. Look at Daniel. Daniel said, King, I've interpreted your vision. Said, the interpretation thereof is to your enemy. Said, and listen, King. Said, listen to me. I'm a preacher of righteousness. Listen to me. Said, turn away from your iniquity. Turn away from your iniquity. But it might be the lengthening of your tranquility. Said, get away from your iniquity. Do away with your wrongs. Quit your unrighteousness. And have mercy on the poor. Said, do that. Do that. Said, and if you do that, like the letter that we wrote to the governor the other day, when God inspired us to write to the governors we have in the past and the present and whoever. See, telling him what God is expecting, and if he doesn't do it, what kind of problem is coming. Oh, you say, Brother Pike, it really won't happen. It'll happen, so help me God. If you've been talking to God and you tell the governor, the president, it doesn't matter who you tell, it'll come to pass. As it was when Betty and I, we rode through Atlanta today, and David Paul was telling me of how that the Atlanta airport, they're adding another section. It's already just about the biggest in the world. They're adding another section. And some of the great thing that they're doing up there, I can't remember what it was. And Atlanta's just spreading out. And now it's becoming the biggest all over. And now it has become, as far as I know, number one, I believe they said, in construction. So while Houston dries up, Atlanta is flourishing. Why? Because God said it would. A number of years ago, when we said the government would shift from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia, and you know the different things that took place. We've got it on tape. The papers carried it. And we said that Atlanta, Georgia, that at that time was about like any commonplace. I said that it will begin to flourish and become, if not the biggest city in the world, one of the biggest cities in the world, and that they'll bring a waterway into it. And I said, and the government will shift, which they went right on and built the great World Congress building, and then they went right on the airport, become the biggest that we've got, as far as I know. If not, it will be the way they're going. I said it will become an international city, and now it is an international city. You don't have to go to Washington to catch a flight out. Just catch it out in Atlanta, Georgia International. And many other things we said about it, it came to pass. See, it came to pass. Why? Because that's what God said would happen. God raised up a president out of it. He shifted the government. Raised up a president. And we spoke of the plains, of what it had to do with the plains of Dura. And the connection with Daniel and the Hebrew children. And the image of the plains of Dura that Daniel spoke about. And I said, and that's what it's all about. And when they checked it out, they found out that the plains of Dura was named from this very thing that we spoke of in the Bible. Like when we spoke of the thing in Memphis, and we spoke of the river, and spoke of Egypt, and what it had to do with, and the death of Martin Luther King, of how he'd be cut off. See, they found out just exactly like we'd see it in searching history that the river was named after the river of Egypt. That's why that God gives a word to man. He gives a word to mankind. God has given me so many things that I could write volumes of books. volumes of books just on the things that he has given me. So far as the spiritual things of God and the things that was to take place and the different things that has taken place. Of people that would die. Of pointing out certain people when he would say to me, they're going to die. And they died. See, so I said that to say this. This is what shook the king up. The king heard Daniel say something. Said, King, this interpretation is to your enemies. And you're going to be driven off of your throne. And it came to pass. It came to pass. As the man of God said it, it came to pass. He said, your kingdom shall be sure unto you. Your kingdom is going to be restored unto you. But he said, this is the word from God. This is the word from God. Folks, America's got a word. God is fixing to overthrow America. God is fixing to tear America down till her buildings in New York and the different places actually crumble down like ashes to the floor of the earth. He's going to tear her all to pieces and leave her as a mass of rubbish upon the earth. That's the word from God. It's coming. It's not far away. It's coming. Why? Because America is haughty. She's proud. She's ungodly. She's selfish. She's left her virtue. She's rising up in the Jim Jones thing against God's people. Down in Babylon, when they tampered with the vessels of God, God tore Babylon down. And America and the government has tampered with the vessels of God. Though we've got a government that emphatically states separation of church and state, yet we've got some hard-headed, stubborn people in the law and in Senate and other places that are filled with the devil. And they are determined that whatever comes, they're going to tamper with God's people, and they're going to tax God's people, and they're going to harass God's people, and they're going to do them like they did in the early church, and they're going to keep on till they get God upset, like it was with Babylon when he tore Babylon down, and like it was in 70 AD when God sent Titus in and plowed the city like a field. He got upset because they tampered with his vessels. They put his preachers in jail, and it upset God. And God sent Titus in there, and even Titus made the statement, said, this thing is of God, said, I didn't intend to do this. Said, this great calamity, said, I didn't intend to do this. Said, it wasn't my plans. Said, my plans were different in coming in here. And said, this has to be the hand of God. And God plowed it like a field. And God's fixing to plow America like a field. And not only that, but this thing is going to reach around the world. Everywhere we go in the world, every place that Betty and I have been, it's corrupt, it's degraded, it's evil, it's rotten to the core. And it's just right for the judgments of God. Earthquakes, the Bible said there'll be earthquakes in the last days, said it increased. Everywhere, earthquakes. In Georgia now, all around, earthquakes everywhere. What is it? It's the end of the world. There's a word from God. See, at that set time, God said, Daniel, take a word to Nebuchadnezzar. I've got a word for him. Take a word for him. The Bible said just before this great calamity befell him, said he was walking through his palace and said he was looking at the beautiful picture saying, look what my hands have gotten me. Saying, look what I have done. I have built great Babylon. The impenetrable walls of Babylon that nobody can't penetrate. And according to the Bible, God raising up men like Cyrus and some of the others, at the very time these evil things was going on, the prophecies of God was coming, saying that this man by name shall be raised up and penetrate the walls of Babylon, tear the place down. All the time, the prophetical utterance, there was a word from God. Did you know there's a word from God? Folks, there's a word from God today. You might not get it. You might not believe it. You might not receive it. But it's still from God. And it's going to be exactly the way that God said it would be. Just like this drought. When we predicted this drought and we said it would strike. And I saw it in the vision, and I saw everything die, and I saw the deadness of it, and I saw the awfulness of it. And then it struck over in the foreign country. It struck in such a way it swept over country after country. And I said, it's coming to America. And it come to America. And now it's swept over a number of states. Not near as to the severity as to foreign countries. But it swept over it enough that the governor, they published the picture of him and his wife in the paper saying, we believe in prayer. We've got to have water. Water has got to come. We've got to pray for water. Asking the people to pray. The governor. And it was bad enough that millions and millions of dollars of goods were lost. And it reached out so far into the different states and into the different places. Even little Monroe, right here, they published a picture in the paper where the entire lake had dried up, where he watered his cattle, and the man standing on the dry ground here in Monroe. And they said here in Monroe, just before we began to plead with God to give some water, that they had 7 days, and it would just about prove to be a disaster if they didn't get water. See, folks, and we've been pleading for water now for a number of weeks, and water is coming. Hallelujah. And it's continued to rain. Been slow. It's been the kind of rain we needed. A little drizzle here and a little drizzle there, bringing water to where it would settle down into the earth. And even today, as Betty and I came out of Atlanta, it had been raining. When we left to go over to Mississippi, it was raining. When we come back, it was raining. And today, it fired up around Atlanta, and the sun came out. And I said, God, I don't want the sun to come out. I said, we still need some water. And within 15 minutes, it covered over. And Betty can tell you, it rained so hard until we almost had to stop on the side of the road. The cars couldn't hardly go. Within about 15 minutes, I said, Betty, it ain't been more than about 15 minutes. Why? Because we need water. We need help. The people need water. We're to plead the cause. And I believe that that governor accepted that letter. I believe he accepted it. I really do. Because I told Betty when we started to leave, I said he had time to get it now. And I said, I told him if he would accept the things that we told him, that God would send him some water. And they must have done it, because just before we left, he apparently got the letter. He had plenty of time. And then as we left, it was raining. When we come back, it was raining. It's still been raining. Even today, it's been raining. And I'm expecting it to rain, folks. I'm expecting it to rain. The Bible says that if I know that God heareth me, then I know that I have the petition I desire of him. I know that he hears me. Me and him's on speaking terms. So I know that I've got the petition that I desire of him. I don't have to worry about that, because I know that he heareth me. So then what we need to do is call on the Lord. We need to ask God to help the people. But we need to warn the people, like Daniel did. He gave the king a word of consolation, as to saying, King, you're going to be restored, but you're going to pay for your iniquity. The thing that you need to do, King, he said, is get away from iniquity. Folks, let me tell you right here at Little Bethlehem, and let me tell all of you that listen to us by means of our way and whatever, let me tell you something. You need to get away from your sins. Like Daniel told the king, the kings of today throughout the world, the queens of today throughout the world, and the senators and the presidents and the great leaders, the government, all of them, the governors, they need to get away from their sins, as I told the governor in the letter. They need to get away from their iniquity. They're causing the wrath of God to come upon the people, as it was in the days of David when the great calamity came and Daniel couldn't get through to God. And finally, when he got through, God said it's because of the bloody house of Saul and told him what to do. And when Daniel took care of the things that God told him to take care of, then everything flourished and everything was just fine. Just fine. And like I told the governor, I said, when you take care of the things that God's commanded you to take care of, and when you quit placing so much emphasis on recreation, on the economics of the world, and on the different things as to governmental affairs and whatever, I said, and remember that God is a jealous God, and begin to offer a little consideration to God and a little praise to God, and holding up the name of Christ and emphasizing salvation, religion, and the things of God a little more. I said, will you begin to do that and stop doing the other? I said, and God will hear from heaven and heal the lands. The Bible said, they that are called by my name, if they'll do the things I tell them, repent of their sins. He said, I'll hear from heaven and I'll heal their lands. Folks, let me tell you, some of you are out of work. Some of you are in problems. Some of you have got sicknesses. Some of you got all kind of problems. You know why? Because of your iniquity. Because of your iniquity. If you'll straighten things out in your life, in your mind, in your heart, and get away from your iniquity, the Bible said, in the very day that you forsake your iniquity, I'll turn and heal you. And I'll bless you. I'll send a blessing from heaven that you won't be able to receive. And I'll heal your lands and I'll heal your bodies. The Bible said, I'll do it the very day that you turn away from your iniquity. So then you need to do something. A lot of times, half-heartedly, you run out here and do all kind of things to reproach God, to reproach the minister, to reproach the church, half-heartedly, live for Christ. And then you're back in here. Remember, you may go out there and stay 6 weeks. You may go out there and stay 6 months. And then you may return. But when you return, you've got all of that to pay for. Every bit of it. You don't just put it behind you. You don't just say, well, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I lost my temper. God forgive me. You don't do that. You have to make restitution. You have to make a change. You have to pray. You have to face that situation. You have to pay for your frolics. So then let's do it God's way. Let's do it God's way. Let's do it the way of the Word. That's the way Elijah did it. That's the way Daniel did it. That's the way the others did it. That's the way that you and I have to do it if we expect to find favor with Christ. I want you to stand with me. I just purpose in my heart to exhort you a little bit tonight. We're certainly glad to have you be with us as we say every night. It means a lot for you to come out with us. Some of you are regular attenders, some of you aren't. But we're still grateful to have you. And I'm sure that some of you are tired from your journey, driving such a long ways. That's a strenuous thing, very taxing. But at the same time, some of you love the Lord enough that last night you came out to the, or Monday night, was it? You came out to the men's meeting. You came out to the men's meeting. In spite of the fact that you had driven so far. About 8:30 I went and I found the doors closed. No men's meeting. I went and got the doors open, and then a few came in, and some of them that had driven so far. And the Lord blessed us. He blessed us. You come to the house of the Lord blesses us. You come to serve the Lord, He blesses us. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. My, how sad I would be if at Little Bethlehem there wasn't a house of God. So good to be in the house of God. So good to have people that are concerned enough to want to pay the light bills, want to take care of the woodwork outside that's exposed to the weather, the doors and whatever, that wants to take care of the yards. I see some of the ladies, they're working very fervently. And they're working consistently, trying to keep the yards in good shape. I also see Mac doing this. And different ones, I see, they work down here in the publication room. They work there, trying their very best to help us. They do all kind of things. And those that work in the printing rooms and the other places. I just happened to notice Randy back there. I don't know whether Randy's wife is with him or he's by himself. But we're certainly glad to have him come and be with us. I told Betty I thought that was him when I looked. When we pulled into the driveway, I thought I saw him standing outside. But I had not seen him until just then. Randy, as far as I can tell, is a miracle. Got bit by the snake the other day when he was holding his little baby. And by faith in God, he came over asked for prayer. And the Lord spared Randy, and by his faith, God healed Randy. And by the confidence that we are the praying people that was concerned had in God. And he's standing here tonight. Everything looks like he's just fine. That's wonderful. You know, when the viper bit Paul, when Paul didn't die, they said, he's a god. He's a god. And sure enough, he was. They got it right. He was. Jesus said, you're gods. And Paul said, it's not me living, but Christ living within me in the life I now live. I live by the Son of God. I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Sure enough, he was. And he didn't die. And God did great things. Their faith. I asked the Lord, Lord, why did you let Paul get bit like that? You know, they said, well, he's a villain. The sea tried to kill him, and the sea didn't get him. And God intends to kill him, so when he got over here, God let a snake bite him. Now he'll die. But then when he didn't die, they said, he's a god. The ocean couldn't get him. The angel of God came and told him, said, I won't let the ocean get you. I'll make it be calm. And when the viper bit him, God wouldn't let poison kill him. And I said, Lord, why all of this? And God answered me like this. As it was with Daniel, as it was with the Hebrew children, so it was with Paul. It was to magnify Paul so that the people would have faith in Paul and above the shipmaster and above the prisoners and whoever, that Paul would be the man of the hour. And he'd be the outstanding one. And that he'd be magnified above all of them. That their faith would be stimulated. That when they found out that Paul was a minister of the gospel, they would believe what he said. And through his faith, healings would take place. And great healings took place. Great miracles took place. Great things took place. See, because God suffered that to magnify his man. Don't feel bad. When temptation comes your way and problems comes your way and heartaches comes your way, don't feel bad. Don't give in to it. Don't say, oh my God, I'm a dry tree. Lord, I'm gone. Don't do that. Just say, by faith, I'll overcome it. By faith, God's with me. By faith, he'll help me. By faith, by faith, by faith, by faith, by faith. And then when it's all over, God will have magnified you above all of them. Because they'll stand back and say, my God, look at that thing that happened. Always it happened like that. That woman, that man, they always overcome them things. And they're always riding on the high places of the earth. God said, I will make you to ride upon the high places of the earth. Feed you with the heritage of Jacob. Make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. And the Bible said that he would give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in the Lord, that we would be like a tree that was planted by the water. We would bring forth our fruit in our season. Our leaves would not wither, and whatsoever we do would prosper. So let's sing this little chorus together. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord, and those that are the called according to his purpose. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit.